The Lord be with you. Amy Mihelich is our chapel speaker this morning. Amy is a graduate of the St. Olaf class of 2016 and spent a year after graduation in Rwanda as part of an ELCA program, Young Adults in Global Mission, also called YAGM. And she is speaking as part of a series at St. Olaf that's commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to recognize that service is a relationship. Teach us to listen to others and respect them. May we see in people not just what they need, but what they have to give to us and the world. May we all share the love you have for us with one another. Amen.
A reading from Romans. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment of faith, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one in the body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord. Well, good morning. It is so great to be here with all of you today. And to those of you joining us online, Abby and Sonia, thanks for watching. So today I want to tell you a little bit about the time I spent in Rwanda and about the YAGM program. But most importantly, I want to share with you a little bit about what I learned about being in community from my community. The 2016-2017 YAGM program sent 85 volunteers to 11 different countries around the world. And I was sent with five other young women to one of the most amazing and beautiful and remarkable countries I've ever been, Rwanda. I was assigned to serve in a city called Huye, which is located in Rwanda's southern province, a two-hour bus ride from the Burundian border. I worked at a university called the Protestant Institute of Arts and Social Sciences, but we called it PIAS for short. And I was assigned a job teaching English, leading Bible studies, and coaching a debate team. Before I left for Rwanda, I remember sharing some of my hopes and expectations for the program with my fellow Olis. I was excited about the opportunity to live in community with the people I worked with. I was passionate about the YAGM model of accompaniment, the philosophy that we are called to walk alongside each other, that we all have something to give. I couldn't wait to make new friends, master Kinyarwanda, learn about Rwandan history and culture, and become part of the community. When I told people at home and school I was going to work in Rwanda, I expected them to be excited for me about this unique opportunity to combine my academic and extracurricular interests. Instead, I was labeled a missionary. And to be honest with you, I felt really uncomfortable carrying that title. I knew that the work of missionaries in East Central Africa contributed to social divisions and constructs that still cause violent conflict today. I knew that 95% of Rwandans identify as Christians. How could I be a missionary in that context? I worried about the role I might play in perpetuating the lingering trauma of colonization. And honestly, I worried what some of my friends at my liberal arts school would think of me being a missionary. When I got to Rwanda, I found that my host community's biggest expectation for me was to be a good Christian girl. It meant dressing smart in the 80-degree heat. It meant refraining from engaging in discussions about my political identity or opinions on social issues with my community when I knew it would upset them. Or even more uncomfortable, sometimes it meant being treated as a guest of honor, being asked to sit in the front of the room at a wedding where I'd never met the bride or groom, or being given a bottle of water during a church service when no one else had anything to drink. It also meant being clear with my community at home about what I did every day. It meant making sure that I was claiming my own bias in my observations and advocating for my Rwandan friends when I told people at home about my experiences. It meant being accountable for the decisions of my home country, because I found myself part of these two very different communities of people that I loved. Often in Rwanda, I was asked to stand up and introduce myself. And I remember feeling conflicted as to what I should say. Should I introduce myself the way I saw myself, the way my community saw me, or the way my Rwandan community saw me? See, I was carrying all these new and uncomfortable identities with me. I was called Umukurera Bushake, which means a volunteer. I was called Umukobga, which means a girl. I was called Umwarimu, which means a teacher. And I was called Umuzungu, a foreigner. But I had other identities too. My friend Gadi became like a brother to me, so much so that people in our community often referred to us as the siblings. My 9-year-old friend Tata always referred to me in Kinyarwanda as Amy Wanje, which means my Amy. And for Christmas, my students gifted me with a Kinyarwanda name of my own, Mugisha, a blessing. These identities carried with them a weight of their own. During our orientation, our country coordinator, Pastor Kate Warren, told us, "It's not about you, it's about you and community with others." These words played on repeat in my head during my Yagam year. It's not about you, it's about you and community with others. I learned that living with that mindset often leads to some of the most rewarding experiences I'll ever have, but also the most challenging, because sometimes it means advocating for someone who doesn't have a voice, and sometimes it means giving up parts of my own voice or letting go of pieces of my identity that might create a barrier between me and those I'm engaging with. And let me just say, I am in no way standing in front of a room of olies and telling you to give up your passions or convictions or to silence yourself for the sake of community. But what I am saying is that sometimes, if we want someone to tell us their story, we have to take a break from telling our own. Sometimes, if we want to accompany someone, it means physically slowing down on a busy day to physically walk next to our peers so that we can engage in a deeper conversation. Always, it means acknowledging the systems of oppression, the dominant narratives and social hierarchies that provide or diminish power and privilege in those interactions. And what my Rwandan community taught me is that our individual identities are important. But true power of community comes from recognizing that we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves, that we are connected to other people, that we carry with us the burdens and privileges of our communities. So let's try a simple example of this together. Okay, think about your major. If someone asked you what you are studying, you might say, for example, "I'm an English major," or "I'm a political science major," or "I'm a biology major." But take a second to think about what that really means. What does it mean to be connected to the community of Olis who have also majored in your field? And the wider community of people who have done research in your field? And the even broader community of people who are interested in your field? Think about the history of your area of study. What sacrifices have people made to protect it? In what ways has it violated or excluded other groups of people? How has it made our world a better place? Suddenly, your major holds a lot more weight, doesn't it? Well, we can do the same thing with other aspects of our identity. Think of the phrase, "I am an Oli." Alumni are following what happens here, and right now, many of us who identify as part of that community feel so much pride and so much disappointment, so much love and so much heartbreak, all at the same time. What does it mean for you? What complicated notions of identity come to mind when you think about being a member of a sports team or a musical ensemble, being an RA or a member of SGA? What does your work study identity mean to you? How do your identities based on the color of your skin, the country of your heritage, or the city where you went to high school shape you as an individual and connect you to larger communities? These are the questions I challenge you to think about today, because they are hard, because they are uncomfortable, because the answers might bring you peace or make you angry. They might make you feel hope or shame or a combination of emotions you can't describe, and that's all okay. But if you value community, what are you going to do to challenge or uplift or disrupt or encourage or unite? Not for yourself, because it's not about you. It's about you in community with others. Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy, and the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.